ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And driving in from the DFW airport, we went right past Texas Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play. That is a unique stadium, the old one, not the new one. It's not like the Kingdome, the Superdome, and other great football stadiums, but it's not completely roofed over, this one. It has a big hole in the roof right over the football field, and spectators are protected, but the players are exposed to the elements. When I asked why, I was told, so God can watch his favorite team. That's the way the Cowboys felt about themselves. They were God's favorite team. This is what the Jews felt, though. We are God's favorite people, God's chosen race. And there's the real problem. That's what most often keeps people from becoming disciples of Jesus and finding the path to freedom. They think they're okay the way they are. Have you ever read through a travel folder of San Francisco? I'll tell you what you won't find. You'll never find in it a paragraph that says, although it's one of the most beautiful cities in the country, San Francisco has huge ghetto areas where you can drive for blocks and see people living in squalor, misery, hunger, and heartache. The city is noted as one of the most immoral cities in the nation. You can stroll down Castro Street on a beautiful summer's evening and find yourself surrounded by lesbians, homosexuals, transvestites. You'll never forget that experience. Yeah, that's not in their brochure. Why? Because they want to portray themselves as, hey, look at the Golden Gate Bridge, the wonder of the redwood trees and all that. That's what these people were doing. They were making themselves better than they should have been. They were descendants of Abraham. They were good with God. In fact, they believed that the worst Jew would be plucked out of the fires of hell by Father Abraham, and the best Gentile would be cast into hell. And again, even, you know, Gentiles today, they believe because they belong to a certain church, they're saved, or the way they were baptized, they were saved, or their parents are saved, so they're saved. And you can put all kinds of ideas in there. It's nothing more than what these Jewish religious leaders were doing. And in the end, you're still lost in your sins. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. How was Father Abraham saved? Here's the thing, and this is why I encourage you to read the scriptures. If they would have read their scriptures, they would have clearly seen how Father Abraham was saved. Paul picks up on that in Romans 4, verses 1 through 8. He says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say?" And he's quoting from the Old Testament. "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." And Paul is trying to drive home this point. If Abraham was justified by works, then he could boast about how good he was, right? This is why I'm in heaven, because I'm a good person. He can boast before man like that all he wants, but can't boast before God. Why? Because Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you know what the Greek word all means? What does it mean? All, thank you. Come on, guys, you know me. Pretty simple. Paul said in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works." Why? "Lest any man should boast." Isn't that true? Don't we boast? Look at what a good job I've done, right? Watch the football players. It's all about them. They want the attention. or any sport figure. All that we do is because of God and His grace that He's given to us. Our very breath is from God. So there's no room for boasting. Salvation is a grace gift that we don't deserve. That's what grace means, undeserving. So salvation is found in Jesus, and thus God won't accept anything else. And then, you know, to further drive home this point, Paul goes back to the Old Testament to show us, again, the faith of Abraham. He was declared righteous, not because of his good works or the keeping of the law, because the law was not even around yet. It was still some 430 years down the road. But as it says in Genesis 15:6, and what Paul was quoting of Abraham, he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. You know what the Jewish rabbis believed? Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with the Lord. Perfect! Well, you know, you could read the story of Abraham. Was he perfect? No, he was not. He's like all of us. Also, they said, we find that Abraham, our father, had performed the whole law before it was given. That's a hard one. How do you perform the whole law? You don't even know what it is. But, no, he was saved by faith. He even looks at David. David is an interesting character. You know, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Look at the psalms that David wrote. The relationship he had with God. But you know what? David should have been put to death. Well, he coveted Bathsheba. That's not something that would put you to death. But what did he do? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was a capital crime, according to the law. And then, not only did he have sexual relations with her, and she gets pregnant, but then he has one of his mighty men, Uriah, killed in battle. He puts him on the front line, so he's killed. Murder. Two sins that are punishable by death. And yet, what did God do? He extended grace. David repented of his sin, and God extended grace to him. So these saints were saved by grace. They were looking forward to the coming Messiah. The sacrifices didn't save them, but the sacrifice would save them down the road when Jesus was crucified on the cross at Calvary. We are not good enough to get into heaven by our good deeds. That's just self-deception. And that's probably one of the most dangerous things in the world, to believe you're good enough to get into heaven. It was interesting with the prophecy conference this weekend, how so much of the church is moving away from the Word of God. And the deception, the way they do it is very interesting. They tell you what you believe, so you fit into what they believe. Well, you don't believe everything that the Bible says, right? Yeah, you don't believe everything. And, you know, that's me too. And then they go off on their doctrines of demons. But see, they put you in that position thinking, well, yeah, I guess I don't believe everything in the Bible. What do you mean you don't? I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation. Because if I don't, then I might as well just go home. Or you might as well just shoot me and get rid of me because I'm doing you a disservice. I'm leading you astray. It's interesting that a majority of people who describe themselves as Christians accept a works-oriented means. How does that happen? Well, as a pastor, now I can control you. Well, you know God wants you to do these things, and if you don't, it's guilt. There was a survey done. 48% of Christians believe that if a person is generally good or does enough good things during their life, they'll earn a place in heaven. Only one-third of the adults, 35%, disagreed. 48% believe you could work your way into heaven. Let's think about this. If I am adding works to grace, is it grace anymore? Well, Paul talked about that in Romans. No, it's not. Grace is unmerited favor. God is giving me something I don't deserve. I deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve death. He gives me heaven through Jesus Christ. So by adding works to grace, it's no longer grace anymore. Now it's works, and God owes me heaven because, hey, you know, I've been a pastor here for 27 years. I've been watching these people and caring for them. You know all the things I do, God. I deserve heaven. Are you kidding me? I don't deserve heaven at all. It's a grace gift, and we have to remember that. How does the church go down that path because they don't know the Word of God? The article says, Christians who believe that salvation can be earned need to read the New Testament. Amen. You know, people say, oh, it's so hard to read the Bible. It's really not. You read other books, don't you? You read maybe mysteries or other stories that, oh, man, I wonder how this is going to. Hey, this is that story. In the beginning, oh, everything is great, and then sin enters the world. Oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, here comes God Almighty to come to save man from his sins. Look at the paradise lost that was in Genesis as the paradise gained in Revelation. Well, one of the greatest stories ever, isn't it? You should be reading it all the time. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? But for these Jewish religious leaders, they thought they were free, but in reality, they were blind to the bondage of sin that they were in. And, you know, our Lord is so amazing, so gracious, so merciful, because he's not going to leave them there. He's going to cut right to the heart of the matter and expose the true bondage that they're in. In other words, sin enslaves us, but Jesus liberates. Look at verse 34 here in John chapter 8. Jesus answered them, "Most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." So Jesus starts out with this truth. And he wants them to pay attention to this. And this is a phrase that he uses most assuredly. Get their attention. Hey, wake up, pay attention. This is important, guys. Listen to what I'm saying. And what does he say? Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And the way that this is written, the verb tense that's being used, it's speaking of habitual sin, continual action. It's a pattern of their life. Habitual sin, they are in a slave to it. And here's the thing. Habitual sin doesn't just happen at once. It's a process. You start out by doing something. Hey, I'm in control. I know other people have problems with this, but not me, because I'm me. I can handle it. And you do it again, and you begin losing control. Before you know it, you're a slave to sin. Think about someone addicted to drugs. Do you think they start out by saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a drug addict? Are you kidding me? They don't start out that way. They don't think they're going to be in bondage to drugs. But the thing that brought them joy puts them in bondage, and that's exactly what Satan does. Bruce put it like this. He says, there is another kind of slavery than social or economic slavery. Sin is a slave master, and it is possible even for people who think of themselves as free to be enslaved to sin. Absolutely. I've told you before, I worked in an intensive care unit for years, and I've taken care of people that have been alcoholics, and their liver is dying. They are as yellow as a banana. Their bellies are like they're 9 months pregnant. They're bleeding because their liver is all messed up. They're a mess, and I've never had one say, you know, man, this alcohol has put me, is destroying my life. I've never heard them. Not one. I took care of and this was even before I was an RN. This is when I was an LPN on a cardiac step-down unit. Young girl in her 20s, was been an alcoholic for years, and she was in for esophageal varices or her potential for bleeding. And you know what her dad did? Brought her in some alcohol, and she bled out and died. I was devastated. I was in my early 20s. I couldn't believe that someone could do this. But you see, she thought she was in control, and it was destroying her life. And that's what sin does. These Jewish religious leaders were blind to the bondage they were in, and thus they were enslaved to sin. These things, guys, never look dangerous at first. They look very innocent. Many people may be doing them. What's the big problem? You know, remember years ago with AIDS. First it was just the homosexual community, but then it spread to others, right? I'll tell you what, and I've said this before, but you know, AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases, which are running rampant today, could be done away with very quickly. And no one's going to give me, you know, a doctorate or a Nobel Prize for this. But tell you what, God said it, so I guess he gets the glory for it now. Sexual relations between a husband and a wife, well, sexually transmitted. Oh, Joe, you're old-fashioned. No, God knew what he was talking about, right? Tell you what, you look at what God says, and you look at what the world is doing, and everything that God said is good, it's perfect, it's right. And when the world takes a hold of it, look at how it's destroyed. Look at how we destroyed the family, our government. These institutions that God has established, we have to be careful, because even we as Christians can fall prey. Think about, and I'm thankful for computers, because all my work, if I had to write my notes out, I wouldn't even be able to read them. Okay, that's how bad I write. So typing, I can read these things. And when my eyes get a little bad, I can blow it up even bigger and read. But here's the problem with the internet. You would not believe the stuff that goes in my junk mail, the pornographic stuff. Why do they send it out? Because if you click on it once, chances are, and they know this, they got you for life. But you go down that path, it's a very dangerous path, because you don't know where it's going to end. What started in a computer is going to end in a physical contact. Be aware. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Why doubt him? What's controlling your life outside of Christ? Whatever it is, you're in bondage to it. Jesus, though, sets us free. In fact, Paul said in Galatians 4:7, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're not a slave anymore. In fact, John 8:35, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. That image of slavery. Why doesn't a slave remain in the house forever? Because he's a slave. He has no rights to remain in the house, but a son does. Are we children of God? Well, that happens as we give our life to Jesus, repent of our sin. Back in John 8:36, Jesus says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Why were they so mad at Jesus? Because it went against what they wanted to believe. And I'm sure you've experienced that. You're sharing Christ with people and they get really mad because it goes against what they believe. I've experienced that with my family. Oh my gosh, you know, my mom had said that, you know, everyone interprets the Bible the way they want. And, you know, as a young Christian back then, I just thought, well, okay, Mom, if that's true, then when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me, how do you interpret that? I'm lucky I'm alive today. I thought I was going to meet Jesus. Why was my mom and dad so mad at me? Because they saw the truth and they felt the conviction. And like many times these Jewish religious leaders, they fought against what they knew was true. And that's what all you can do. You know, we saw that, we see that today. You know, when people don't have any ground to stand on, what do? They mock you, make fun of you, call you names. Hey, if you can make an argument why I should not believe in Jesus, why the Word of God is false, give it to me. Oh, you're just a Bible thumper. Okay, that doesn't answer the question. Why should I not believe this? Tell me. Well, there's so many errors in it. Okay, let's go through them. Show me. Well, you know, I don't know, but they're in there. Do you see? They don't have the answers, and that's the problem. Why do we want to be a slave to sin when we could be free in Christ? And I'll tell you, it's the most wonderful thing to be free in Christ. Because I look at all these freedoms that organizations and governments are taking away, and I go, hey, this one's forever. You can never take away Jesus. I'm free in him. And he'll allow me to do anything. Think about it. And I don't mean to get off on this tangent, but I will anyway, because I'm up here and you can't stop me. Think about Daniel. As a young man, Daniel is taken captive from Jerusalem by the Babylonians. He's brought into Babylon. The guy becomes in charge, right? Isn't that incredible? He leads this tyrant king, it took him several years, but leads him to saving faith in Christ, Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Joseph. His brothers sell him into slavery. They go, oh my God, that's horrible. No, he needed to go there to save the Jewish people. Whatever happens in your life, what's God going to do? What is he doing? See, we see it right here and now. God sees the whole picture. I need to move you here because I need to do this. And I know this isn't going to be easy, but this is what's going to happen. All right, God. I don't know the end of the story. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I'm going to trust in you. Why? Because I've seen how he works in the past. I love that about our God. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's from Jesus, man. We cannot be saved any other way. And I am so thankful that I can be set free in Christ. I think that's why it's so important for us as Christians to gather together, to worship God, to hear from him, because iron sharpens iron. You know, worship is great, and we need to worship God, and hearing from him is awesome. But it's that fellowship where we're talking with each other and praying with each other and encouraging each other is vital. When you're apart, it's really hard. I'm thankful that we have the ability to put these studies, live stream these studies for people that are sick that can't come to church. And believe me, they want to come. But there are those that can come that don't come. And that's not going to help you. That's going to hurt you. I can't wait to come to church. When I was off for those, I don't know, how many weeks was I off? 4 weeks with my back? 3 weeks? I don't know. It was the longest time in my life. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be back. All I have to do is stand. Come on, let me come back. And then I thought, all right, Easter, Resurrection Day. And God was so gracious. Okay, all right, we'll let you back. And I was able, I mean, I felt good, was able to come back. We are set free in Christ. Why do we want to be in bondage to sin? Blind. You know, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free. Isn't that great? What more do we need? You know, people go, oh, but all this is going to happen. The economy is going to crash. There's not going to be any food. You know, all this stuff is going to happen. We're going to be in trouble. They're going to put us in camps and things. And I'm thinking, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If he's Almighty God, he's in control. Does he know what's going on down here? You go, oh, you got to get a little, you know, talking to some people at the conference, you got to have food, you know, you got to store food up because there's not going to be any food. Hey, you know, get a couple weeks worth of food, you know, canned goods. There's nothing wrong with that. You do that probably anyway. But how much food are you going to store if it's really bad? You know, I was talking to some people today about Y2K, you know, remember everything was going to crash, the nuclear warheads were going to go off, there's going to be no gas, everything is bad, woe's me. I had to do a study because people were panicked over this. And I said, you know, God up there going, oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. Y2K, why didn't I think about that? No. I said, God's in control. And I'm seeing it now with all this stuff. You know, it's the end of the world. This is it. The Lord's coming back, the rapture. What if he doesn't come back when bad things start to happen? Is it going to destroy your faith? Not mine. Because I know that we're not going to be in the tribulation period, but I also know things may get really, really bad. But when they get really, really bad, people start wondering what's going on. You see, if we are the church of the last days, which I think we are, we should be the most excited generation ever. Thank you, Lord. You are enabling us to bring a gospel message to people that are lost, that are hurting, that are fearful. They don't have love. They're missing everything. And they're looking for answers. And we could say, you know what? I know all that's going on because God has already told me. We shall be free indeed. I'll close with this. Someone was giving me a hard time today when I say, in closing, we got 15 more minutes, but 10 because of that. There's this old story about Abraham Lincoln, and he went down to the slave block to buy a slave girl. And as she looked at the white man bidding on her, she figured, you know, it was another white man going to buy her and then abuse her. He won the bid, and he was walking away with his property. He said, young lady, you are free. She said, well, what does that mean? It means you're free. Does that mean, she said, that I can say whatever I want to say? And Lincoln said, yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say. Does that mean, she said, that I can be whatever I want to be? And Lincoln said, yeah, you can be whatever you want to be. Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go? And he said, yes, you can go wherever you want to go. The girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, then I will go with you. Jesus has set us free. May we follow him all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord. I am going to follow you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us, for setting us free. We didn't even realize how blind we were. And when you opened our eyes and let us see the wonder of the life you've given to us, set free from the bondage of sin. Thank you so much, Lord. And I pray this morning, any here and those listening on the radio, the internet that don't know you, that, Lord, they would allow you into their lives, repenting of their sin, asking you to be Lord and Savior. And for all of us, Lord, may we have a sense of urgency to follow you and shine for you in a world that is losing more and more hope. Lord, we love you. And again, thank you so much for your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.